D-Maze Finn getting Donick 1025. The game? Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. Patriots at Titans, Sunday, Nissan Stadium, Mike Vrabel, all of the things. By the way, the Titans have ruled out Calvin Ridley and Arden Key for this matchup. So the Titans wide receiving core, Elegaya Manor, Van Jefferson, Tyler Lockett, Jim DK. It's not looking good for the Tennessee Titans there. And here are two questions that we are going to answer over the next little bit. And I want you to participate as well, 615-737-1025. Number one, is this going to be a bloodbath for the New England Patriots? Are they just going to come in here and smack around the Tennessee Titans? That's question number one. And number two, how will Mike Vrabel try to stick it to the Tennessee Titans on Sunday? Because you know he's going to try. I never interviewed Mike Vrabel. I didn't cover Mike Vrabel. But from afar, I could sense that Mike Vrabel was a petty mofo. And that's fine. I don't mind a little pettiness. But you could tell that Mike Vrabel's petty. Don't you remember how Vrabel used Bill Belichick's own NFL rulebook loophole against him in the Titans' wild card playoff game win back in 2019? Who could forget that? Who could forget back in 2018 when the Titans called a trick play against the Patriots while leading by 17 with 10 and a half minutes in a regular season game? Vrabel just wanted to stick it to Belichick. Remember, Tom Brady went out for the pass from Julian Edelman and tripped over himself. So the Titans called the same play for Marcus Mariota like two plays later or something like that. You know that Mike Vrabel is going to look for an opportunity to rub the Titans' face in it tomorrow. I mean, Sunday, excuse me. But you know what's going to happen. So those are the two questions. And I'll start with you, Derek. One, should we be prepared for a Patriots blowout? And two, how will Vrabel try to stick it to the Titans on Sunday?
I'm not telling Titans fans to not prepare for a blowout. I'm not telling them that. Oh, no, not at all. What I will say is I will be more surprised if it is indeed a blowout than I would be a Tennessee Titans victory. Not because I think the Titans roster is just that much better than New England. I don't. I just think that in this league, what can be perceived as a disadvantage could be an advantage for you. The perceived disadvantage is they had to change coaches in the middle, you know, right before the start of the week. So how will, you know, everyday in-house stuff look? You know, the day-to-day routine, will it be changed up? How much would that affect, you know, players and coaches? But I don't think many people look at it from this standpoint, is that this could be truly the best thing for this game. And because he doesn't know or he doesn't have any sort of keys on tendencies here. And again, if he wants to, he can go back, you know, 2-3 years ago and look at what I did from the offensive standpoint, offensive coordinator standpoint. Yeah, you can do that. But I've been removed from that for a couple of years. I've gained more ideas. I've sat back and I watched. So if there's going to be, I believe, if there's going to be any sort of new coach bump, it would be this week. So I would be more surprised if they came in here and they ran shop on the Titans than I would be if the Titans pulled out a victory.
Willie, same questions.
I think I go back to something that Brinker said when they made the change earlier this week. He really talked about the lack of growth, but when he was drilling down, he was talking about the Titans' offense. The Titans' offense is the special teams of the Titans last year, not just last in efficiency. A distant last, like by far the worst in the NFL. So to me, it all starts with what D-Mace is using as a theme here, and that is, will this help at all for an offense that just has not been able to get anything done at all? Because I think one thing we know about Mike Vrabel teams, most weeks they're going to play the complementary football. They're not going to take any chances. I think their game plan is going to be a classic Vrabel plan. Play good defense, let the Titans unravel, and be opportunistic, and you'll win the game by the end. So I don't know if that means blowout, but I think New England, if they play the way they've been playing, we'll get a sound victory. I don't think it's going to be about embarrassing or anything like that. It could, but I think it's going to be more like last week, where if you don't do anything stupid, you should win.
Don't do dumb that hurt the team.
Basically.
Exactly.
Let's go to Adam in Portland on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, I haven't heard from you in a minute. How's it going?
Going good, bud. How are you?
Not bad. What you got?
Hey, I think it's weird how everybody's just propping up Vrabel like he's some god, man. He is a dude. Like, he's a Belichick wannabe. I know he did things nice while he was here with Mike Mularkey's squad that Mike Mularkey turned around and started doing good things with. But Mike Vrabel's not special, man. Like, he's not – I don't get it. I'm never going to understand it. I think we're going to win this week because I think Mike Vrabel also thinks he's awesome. He thinks he's more awesome than any of you guys do. And he's going to go into this game too cocky. I think T'Vondre Sweat has a big game, hopefully has a big game. And Drake May, while he is a solid prospect at quarterback, dude, I think our defense is pretty good. Like, as long as Cam doesn't hurt us, which, by the way, I wouldn't put Brian Callahan, not to just keep crapping on Callahan, man, but I wouldn't put it. He's like a non-sleazy version of Urban Meyer. That's how bad he was. So if you get that guy away from the offense, it's bound to look so much better. And I think the offense is going to look good. I think we're going to win by at least 10 points.
Okay.
I'll take my lumps if I'm wrong on this, but I think this is a perfect game where Vrabel's going to be too confident and the team's going to be fired up that they don't have to be underneath a terrible, terrible football coach.
Okay. Adam predicting a double-digit win for the Tennessee Titans. I can't remember.
Probably not.
I would have never thought.
When was the last time the Titans won a game by double digits?
I would have never thought to put Brian Callahan and Urban Meyer in the same sentence.
A non-sleazy Urban Meyer.
A non-sleazy version of Urban Meyer. I would have never thought to put those two in the same conversation. In no comparison.
I have a trivia question for the two of you.
Yes.
You know I like these trivia questions. This courtesy of Sports Illustrated. Since the beginning of the 2000 NFL season, 48 teams have either fired, moved on from, or had their coach resign mid-season. Of those 48, how many won their first game with the team? The interim coach, I should say.
Interim coach.
So 48 instances of a team firing, moving on from, or having their coach resign mid-season. Of those 48, how many of those teams won the first game with the new coach?
Oh, man. I would say first game coach. Oof. If they fired you, you had to be bad. I would say 10.
Willie?
15.
20. Huh. 20 out of 48.
I thought about 20 and then I went down.
Yeah, okay.
Like it's a little shy.
Sure.
That's what they all say.
Exactly.
That's what they all say. Since the beginning of the 2000 NFL season, according to Sports Illustrated, 48 teams have either fired, moved on from, or had their coach resign midseason. Of those 48, 20 have won their first game with a new voice at the helm. Yes, that is indeed under 50%. And I'm looking at this Patriots roster. Drake May, he's feeling it right now. Give him credit. Drake May looking real good right now. And yes. I can't say I watch a ton of Patriots football, but I look at their roster on paper and I don't see this uber talented group. Ramondre Stevenson, Stephon Diggs, Hunter Henry at tight end, you know, look at all of these former Titan players on this roster, by the way. Josh Dobbs, the backup quarterback. Austin Hooper. He was a member of the Titans, wasn't he, at one point? Uh-huh. Austin Hooper. Who's leading the Patriots in tackles? Robert Spillane leading the Patriots in tackles. Jack Gibbons? Oh, Harold Landry? And, of course, there are a lot of former Titans coaches on the Patriots staff as well. But I'm looking at this roster, and I don't see a roster that I think matches up with the most talented rosters in the NFL. But the Titans are so devoid of talent that this roster looks so much better by comparison. So when I hear what you're saying, Derek, about, you know, Mike Vrabel doesn't have Mike McCoy film to study ahead of this game, I'm not sure how much that really matters with how bad this team is without Calvin Ridley. They're like, I don't know. I think this is going to be, I don't know how else to say this, curb stompage supreme on Sunday. They're not that good.
The Patriots aren't that good.
But the Titans are that bad.
Right, but I don't think it's going to be a curb stomping because I agree with you. You just listed guys. I think that is a trait that Vrabel's usually pretty good at, is finding role players that he trusts, that he kind of knows what he's getting from. And this is to me the key matchup. If there's a weakness on the Patriots, it's pass defense. They do not score well in the metrics there. But that's the problem. Without Ridley, you kind of wonder, can the Titans take advantage of that at all? And that's why I kind of like. But I don't think the Patriots are this juggernaut that's going to just, you know, cut through them like a hot knife through butter. I think it's going to be more methodical, and I do think the Patriots will win the game. But I just don't think it's a curb stop. They don't have a great roster.
By the way, the Titans did win by double digits last season, 31-12 against the Miami Dolphins, a game that I have wiped from my memory completely. So they have won double digits.
Yeah. But, well, let me jar your memory. Who played quarterback for the Dolphins in that game?
Snoop Huntley. Pro Bowler.
Exactly.
Snoop Huntley.
Yeah.
Anyway. Let's go to Eric on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Eric, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. No dad joke, unfortunately, guys. I'll eventually come up with it. It's been a while since I talked to you guys. But one of the things I want to bring up, guys, is this. Everybody talks about the fact that Mike Vrabel and his record towards the end, which is fair, and I have no problem with that, that maybe should have been fired, and people bring up Brian Callahan and his coaching situation. But I got to bring up Mike McCarthy. I hear a bunch of people say, well, let's bring in Mike McCarthy, guys. Here's my issue. Guys, people know me, and you know me, really. I grew up a Dallas Cowboys fan. Nobody's talking about his coaching tenure there. I remember the time he was there. He had issues with situational football. He had issues with clock management. He had issues with the proper use of timeouts. And if people remember, the Dallas Cowboys during his time there, they were either number one in the NFL or near the top every year in penalties. And I'll give you a game, a prime example of my issues with him. I remember a Saturday night game against the Detroit Lions where Dallas had a huge lead. They were dominating the game, and they almost blew the game with some of, I felt like, his coaching issues. And the Dallas Cowboys only got bailed out because of a horrible call by a referee on a two-point conversion with Detroit. Went for it, and they got screwed. He went for it again. They won by 1 point. And in my opinion, the Cowboys and Mike McCarthy should have lost that game. So all these people that want Mike McCarthy here, be careful what you wish for. I'll support it as a Titans fan, but if all this stuff happens, remember what you hear first. You hear it first, guys. And I can point to several other situations. So all these Titans fans want Mike McCarthy. That's what you're getting if he's coming in. And I guys want to get your thoughts on that. Y'all take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for the call, Eric. Not to dismiss your question, because Mike McCarthy is a coaching candidate for the Tennessee Titans. We'll focus on that later. Right now, we're talking Mike Vrabel and the upcoming game on Sunday against the New England Patriots. So, I hear what Willie's saying. The Patriots roster is not, like, I don't know where I would rank it in the NFL. It's a solid roster, but it's a roster on paper that doesn't frighten me. But I just look at the Titans roster, the fact that Cam Ward isn't going to have his most reliable weapon on the field in Calvin Ridley. You're counting on a rookie wide receiver in Alec Iemanner. You're counting on two old heads and Van Jefferson and Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett has been non-existent, minus the fact that he fell on the fumble into the end zone.
He got a touchdown.
He did get a touchdown out of it. I call that the Treylon Burks special. By the way, did you see
Treylon Burks? Got signed, yes.
Treylon Burks with the Washington Commanders. So good for you, Treylon Burks, back in the NFL. But, like, I don't know how the Titans are going to keep up. Now, we'll see what happens with the pass defense. See if Jeffrey Simmons can get after Drake May. We saw firsthand in this stadium a year ago how elusive Drake May can be. Remember the game-tying touchdown at the end of regulation? The Titans did end up winning that game. But, I don't think it's going to be something like 45-10. But I do think that this might be a three-score game.
Ooh, man. That's a lot of points. A three-score game, that's a lot of points. Especially in the NFL, it has a lot of points. In college, too, three-point spread. I mean, a three-score spread.
I mean, what the hell do I know? I'm just saying,
this, they are in a better position, obviously, than the Titans. You look at their victories, there's no, outside of the Buffalo, and I think division games are a little bit different. But outside of Buffalo, I don't think they've been really, you know, you really can't test their mettle against some of these teams that they play. But I think New England, if not anything else, they're a solid team. They are a team that will get turnovers and not getting up many. They're going to be a disciplined team. So they're always going to find themselves in ball games, whether they are overmatched or not. And that's sort of the Mike Vrabel effect, in a sense, is that you may not win the game, but you're going to pretty much stay around long enough to have an opportunity to win. And unless you do something catastrophic, the game may end up being closer than what it probably should have based on your personnel compared to theirs. But this is a solid roster that is not going to do too many things to beat themselves. And they got the perfect coach for that. Because now he's learned he's not going to do too many things to beat himself, this second go around as a head coach. And it's bearing out. You know, I don't think people picked New England to be 4-2 at this point. I think they're 4-2.
They are 4-2.
Yeah, 4-2. I don't think many people picked them to be 4-2 and actually to beat Buffalo. Not many people picked that, but that's what they did. Not because I think they're necessarily better than Buffalo, but because they're a solid team that is coached well. So will he come in here and put up 40 points or blow them out? I don't know. There's a possibility. But I do think that even though this team is outmatched, having Tavondre Sweat back, having J.C. Latham back another game, getting his legs underneath him even more. New coach, maybe a new way that Cam looks at this game, a new way that they kind of try to guide him. So it could work out. I don't think I don't see anything that would say anything more than what I've seen prior to Brian Callahan being fired. I don't see anything more that's going to tell me this team is a bad team or this team's not going to win. Now I'm starting to see reasons why they could win. I know all the reasons why they can't win. And if Brian was the coach, it'd still be those same reasons. But now I see reasons they can win the game. You know, and we'll see come Sunday.
I don't think the Titans are going to win this game. But Adam's three-score thing, I will take you up on that, Adam. there's no way. So you're saying 17 points. 17 points is where you said it. I will take the Titans plus 17. The Patriots, they lost to the Raiders, who aren't any great shakes. They beat the Dolphins, who have had all kinds of problems. Mm-hmm. They beat the Panthers, who are improving, and that's their most decisive win. They had a great win at the Bills in front of everybody. That was impressive. Mm-hmm. And they beat a Saints team that's not real good. So I just don't think this is a juggernaut Patriots team. If the Titans play reasonably well at home, they should be able to be at least competitive. I just don't think they don't have enough to win the game. I don't think they'll cover. But three scores and getting curb stomped, that should not happen.
Why do people want the Titans to get curb stomped? That's just not a hurt.
It does.
I've never got curb stomped. Adam, I've never got curb stumped, but no, I'm sure it hurts.
Yeah, I don't know why I landed on that, but that's what I came up with. 615-737-1025. Whose side are you on? Are you taking my 3-score bet, or are you on side Willie, who thinks they're going to cover -17? Let us know. 615. I think the actual
not
line,
asking much.
No, I think the actual line is -7 in favor of the Patriots, but. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Should we anticipate a Patriots blowout win against the Titans on Sunday? And how will, because I know he will, because he can't help himself, how will Mike Vrabel try to stick it to the Titans on Sunday? Because we've seen him do it to the Patriots when he was with the Titans, and I think he's going to do it on Sunday. So how will he do it? 615-737-1025. D-Maze Vingan Adonic is presented to you by Bax Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. Get a free estimate at baxhomeworks.com.
I do think a lot of people were making this about Brian Callahan versus Mike Vrabel, and then obviously the Patriots are coming in to Nashville this weekend to play them. And there was definitely some chatter yesterday that did the Titans fire Brian Callahan before Mike Vrabel could come into town and embarrass them if they won to just avoid it, right? Like, let's just not give him the satisfaction. Let's just fire Brian now.
Interesting.
I don't know if that's true. That's just like fun theories that people had going on yesterday. But this was never about comparing Brian Callahan to Mike Vrabel. I think we all could agree that Vrabel is a better coach. I think the story of this upcoming Sunday is the dysfunction of this organization with the number one overall pick who has shown that he can play. Are they going to be able to fix this and get the most out of the player? And I think the Vrabel side to this is, look, I don't think he ever really wanted to leave Tennessee. I think he wanted to be there for the rest of his life, and they had some success there. But at the end, it was obvious that him and the owner did not like one another. So this is more about ownership versus Mike Vrabel on Sunday.
That was Diana Russini discussing the matchup between the Patriots and Titans on Sunday. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Ricky on our YouTube chat says, I was going to say Adam is like Lou Holtz, but he's more like Lex Luthor. He just likes to watch stuff burn. That's the second time I've been compared to Lex Luthor in the past couple of weeks.
It's the bald head and the glasses, man.
That's really all it is.
But I don't think Lex Luthor wears glasses.
That's just the bald head.
But y'all have bald heads too.
No facial hair. We have facial hair.
That's true.
Yeah. Bald head, no facial
hair. Again, you're compared to a rich guy in fictional characters.
Exactly. Absolutely. So why are you upset?
Am I really that twisted? Am I twisted, guys?
And when it comes to this show, yeah, you are.
Like chaos. I do. You said it. It's in the intro.
I do like chaos. That is true. And as far as I know, Lex Luthor is both smart and rich. So I wish I could be both of those things. So I take it as a compliment. Thank you, Ricky. Cody says, what was Vrabel's record versus the spread? Callahan's record versus the spread? McCoy's record versus the spread? I can't answer Vrabel's record and McCoy's record, but I can tell you that Brian Callahan was 4-19 against the spread as Tennessee Titans head coach, the worst against the spread mark by a head coach in the Super Bowl era per ESPN Stats and Info.
That just shows you how bad things were around here, that even against the spread, you couldn't win. And usually, you know, in this league, these spreads are not enormous anyway. It's not like there's a wide gap between you and an opponent when it comes to, you know, how Vegas do the scoring. But that just shows you how bad their team is when you can't even cover a spread in the National Football League. So how do they dig themselves out of it? Does it start this week? Insert new head coach. Can they get some type of life in them where they can go out and match it? Just the offense just needs to, because Jeffrey Simmons said this. I think it was Jeffrey Simmons that said it. He said, we just hadn't played on all three phases good at the same time. Basically, that's essentially what he said. I think it was Jeff. 1 week is, or could have been, Cam, 1 week is this and next week is that, but it's never this. If they can get this, all facets of this team on the same, so all in line on the same plane, I think they have a more of a better shot at winning than not, because their special teams has played well. Their defense have held their own until they just couldn't hold no more. And the offense, with the exception of one quarter, has been the anchor. They've been what's been pulling the team down or stopping the team from moving forward. Because if you just take it based upon what their special teams and defense have been doing, this is a good team, and they should have won more games. But when you have an offense that is weighing you down, that is not scoring points, then come third quarter when I've given you everything that I had and you're asking me to give you some more and stop them again, Houston, when they're in the red zone again, I can only stop so much. And then what happens? Everything, the dam breaks, and there you go. They score point after point. Why? Because the offense is not holding their hand in the bargain. So, like they said, a few of the players said, if they can play well, if they can match, if the offense can match the special teams, if the defense can match the special teams, and the offense can match both the special teams and the defense, this team can put themselves in a better position to win a ball game. And they just hadn't did it.
I would stop short of saying that the defense has played like a good team. I think the special teams have been good. I think the defense has been okay. It looks good compared to the offense because the offense has been so bad. But I want to go back to something that Diana Rossini said, because I think we've come to know that she has got a pretty good connection. She gets good stuff from Vrabel's camp, right? Over the years, she's dialed in.
Yes.
What is she talking about when she said Michael Vrabel wanted to stay there for the rest of his life? That's just not reality in the NFL. Am I wrong about that? Nobody stays in one place for life.
I mean, 18 years would be considered life. So
unless you're Mike Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh, I guess those are lifers.
Yes, that's just so rare.
Exactly.
That is so rare.
Yeah, you're right. It's rare for that to happen.
But let's look a little deeper into that. You don't think that Mike Vrabel knew what was coming with the roster? There is no question in my mind. He knew exactly the trouble that was ahead. He saw that the draft picks had been busting while he was still the coach. The roster was getting thinner. His best players were aging, and he could not sustain it, especially because I think it was pretty clear that he was not a huge fan of Will Levis. He made him the third-string quarterback, not the second-string quarterback, the third-string quarterback to start his rookie year. And then when he put him in, so he didn't give him any reps in the preseason or anything like that. Then he put him in there, and you could tell with he tried to make it work, but I don't think he was really enthralled with where Levis's arrow was pointing for the big picture. So do we really think that Rossini is being sincere when she says he wanted to stay there for the rest of his life? I think that's overblown big time.
I mean, these coaches, they understand.
Because he would have been fired by now. He would have been fired by now if they kept him.
Yeah, and listen, I can see him saying, hey, listen, I believe in myself enough that, you know, I would have turned things around and I would have been here. I get that point. But I think if he was looking at it realistically, he had to have known how bad of a shape that roster was in toward the end. And it was going to take a lot to turn this thing around. Now, he probably could have turned it around a little bit quicker than, you know, Brian Callahan was on his way to not doing more than the next coach. But it still was a long road regardless. So, I mean, he's a solid coach that knows how to work with, if he has a little talent or if he has talent in certain areas, he knows how to hone in on that talent. Or if it's set, if the table's set for him, he understands, you know, what utensils need to be had and everything else. The table just isn't set for this team. And I don't know if somebody like, you know, if he stayed here, it would have been the same thing. it would have been him ultimately losing his job like he did. But it would have just been a year or two later. So, you know, we'll see how this thing goes.
One texter
by
says,
the way,
yes.
Adam, was Diana listening to our show when she talked about the thought, did Amy Adams Strunk go ahead and not give Vrabel the satisfaction of beating Callahan with Vrabel? Because
that's been a popular theory.
Mm-hmm. It has been, but that's exactly what we said on Wednesday, or Tuesday it was. Maybe it was Wednesday. So she may have been listening. So shout out to Diana, who does a good job. She's very good. If she was listening to us, or maybe, you know, were we the only one saying that? Probably not.
No.
Yeah, we were. I'm
but
believe,
we're going to say we were. We're going to say we were, though.
Fine.
Yeah, we were.
Fine.
We're the only people saying it. I'm going to say it. Yeah. And if it's not true, then so be it.
Dylan in Antioch says, Adam, is it Lex Luthor or Lex Luthor? I believe it's Luthor.
Yeah.
Despite the fact, Luthor.
Yes, Luthor. So there you go, Dylan.
Let's call you Lex.
Can we just read quickly? This is the doom and gloom text of the week. Brought to you by Scott in Shelbyville. I feel bad for Willie. Question should be, who is going to lose worse tomorrow, the Titans or the Predators? Ooh. That was a soul-crushing, season-ending defeat against Montreal last night. Don't think they recover. Wow. All the old doubt from last year just walked right back into the locker room after that, after only five games.
Wow, Willie.
77 to go. Don't even bother playing them.
It's not even November yet.
What you got to say about that, Willie?
Well, it was a soul crusher. There's no question about it. But they, you know, they got a point. You move on. You got another chance tomorrow night. I feel a little bit better about where that's going than the Titans at this point.
Scott, go outside and just take in this beautiful sunset and just think positively. That's a fatalistic text if I've ever read one in my life. When we don't want that from you, we want you to be happy. Sometimes we want you to be sad because it makes for better radio when y'all are pissed off. But for this for this time, let's just make it. We just want you to be happy.
Probably not. Do you think Titans want them to win? Like where I'm going with it is, of course, the tankathon situation, the trades, things like that. Like, what's the fastest way to get good at this point for the Titans? And, you know, the texter brings up the Predators. They could get to that point where this particular season they're better off pivoting and trading some veterans away, playing the kids, as a lot of people are clamoring for right now, and maybe having another year where they get a high pick. That wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, but that's the beauty of 82 games. You still have some time to figure out which direction your team's going, and so far they've been very competitive, and, you know, with – if they did better in the overtimes or at the end of the regulation, they could have even more points than they have. But the Titans are at a point right now where I don't think there's any question that they need to pick high. That's the quickest way back. And I still haven't heard a whole lot about trading Jeffrey Simmons. I really hope that that comes back up because he's playing so well. I think striking while the iron is hot is huge there.
By the way, you spoke my love language. You said tankathon.com. The Tennessee Titans are sixth in the draft order as of now, according to tankathon.com, behind the Jets, Browns, Ravens, Dolphins, and Saints.
Well, that's going to change. You just figured they'd be up to number two or three pretty soon here.
Quickly, let's go to Wes in Hermitage on our phone line. Wes, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Oh, guys, happy Friday. I really, really want y'all's opinion on this. I've already told Chase and Big Joe, I think 2 days ago. I talked to Jake earlier today, so now y'all get to hear the same thing. But I'm a big person that history repeats itself, and especially so with Mike Vrabel. So with him just beating the Bills on primetime, that's the Vrabel special. But it's a two-parter. That was part A. Part B to that is that they then get beat by a team that they shouldn't lose to. And that's the Titans. And I just think this is just setting up perfect for us. Vrabel's coming in here all heated, thinks he was going to run up the score. He just came off of a big win against Buffalo. But we also just fired our coach. We've got a team right now that's really fueled and really gassed to go out there and show them that we're improving. I think this is a good setup for us. And before I could change my mind, I went ahead and put a bet on that. And I've got the Titans minus 2.5, and I've got Tony Pollard and Spears both getting into the end zone. I think the Titans take the win.
Hey, Wes, okay. Why don't you just burn that money as opposed to I appreciate
it. Hey, I will say this. I will give my shot of the Titans minus 2.5 and both running backs getting into the end zone more of a chance than them losing by 17.
Okay, we shall see. Thank you for the call, Wes. We'll answer Wes's question when we come back to wrap up the show. We will also, of course, do Take It to the Bank. That's coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Fingan, 102.5 The Game. D-Mace, Fingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Fingan here with you. It is time to Take It to the Bank with our friends at F&M Bank. Banking made easy on purpose. Visit one of their locations throughout Middle Tennessee and Southern Kentucky or online at myfmbank.com. I do want to mention one thing that I forgot to mention at the top of the hour. Usually we have Ask D-Mace Fridays at 5. Ask D-Mace is, shall we say, under construction. We are going to roll out a new and improved version of Ask D-Mace on Monday. So be sure to tune in for that if you were wondering why we did not have Ask D-Mace at 5 o'clock. Before we get back into the Titans and Patriots with our closing thoughts, let's recap last week's action. David Janes, take it away.
All right, boys. So first off, let's go to the general question. So one of our general questions was Max Crosby would have either over under 1.5 sacks. So me and Willie were the only ones that said over, and D-Mace and Ving and Adam had unders. He had 2 sacks, so me and Willie got those points off of that. And then we also had Calvin Ridley over under 54.5 yards. Unfortunately, Calvin Ridley got out early for the game and only had, 17 yards, I think?
I think we all took the over on that one.
No. This guy right here. This guy right here. No. This guy said under. This guy said, I don't believe in Calvin Ridley. I was only doing it because everyone else said over, and that's why I did it. So to be a little different. So, yes, so I'm the only one who got them all correct this week, so shout out to me. Yes. But now let's go to Adam's. Let's see. What did Adam have? Adam, you said Geno Smith would have an interception.
Sure
that
did.
Didn't happen. And you said the Colts would win by double digits against the Cardinals.
That did not happen.
That did not happen, unfortunately. So you have a total of 3 points for a total of 30.
Okay.
Now, Willie, you had a pretty good week. You said double digit strikeouts by Derek Scoble. That did happen. And that the Brewers would eliminate the Cubs. So you got a total of 7 points for the week for a max total of 46 points.
Willie's running away from me in this thing.
He's killing it. He's killing it right now. Now, D-Mace, you...
Yeah, I know.
You've been struggling. Yeah. But again, slow starts. And they're not always advantageous to what could happen at the end. But you said the Titans would have 2 sacks. Mm-hmm. They did get 2 sacks, so you got the points from there. But then you said your mighty Tigers would beat the Mariners, and unfortunately they did not. It was a great game.
Yeah.
15-plus innings or something like that?
Too many innings
for baseball. But, you know, Dave Mason, you had 3 total points for the week for a total of 22 points.
Okay, I got points. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. Now for me, let's go to me. I want to say this. A perfect week for your boy. I said that the Brewers would beat the Cubs and at LSU over South Carolina. So I have 12 points for a total of 38 points. I'm catching up to you, Willie.
Okay.
I'm only 8 points away. I'm coming close.
All righty.
I'm concerned because the commissioner, he controls the point gathering. So if he's close, he knows I've had issues with him, so he could pad.
Whoa,
I'm going to be watching very closely, David.
Listen. Closely.
Your thumb is on the scale.
Listen, I am not. I'm a good commissioner, but I can't be bought.
Wow. Okay.
By yourself.
Okay.
Especially by myself.
So today, Derek is in charge of our 2 common questions. So, Derek, why don't we hear them?
Okay, the first common question is this. New England hasn't surrendered 50 yards to a running back through the first 6 games this season. The Titans as a team is averaging over averaging 81 yards. Well, really 82 because it's 81.8 yards a game. Pollard is averaging 60 yards a game. So over under 55 yards for Pollard.
Over under 55 yes. yards for Pollard. I will say over because who the hell is going to create offense for this team without Calvin Ridley? I think they rely on the run even more. So I will take the over for Tony Pollard. Excuse me.
Willie?
I'm going to go under. I would say this is just for Pollard, right? Mm-hmm. Not for
this is not for the team. Yeah, just for Pollard.
Yeah, so Pollard, I think a Mike Vrabel tactic, and this is how they've played it this year, they have done a good job against the run. They make you one-dimensional. They have given up a certain amount of heat passing, but I think they're going to try to take away the run and see if Cam Ward can beat them through the air. So I think they're going to take Pollard away, and so I'm going to go under.
I need the points. I'm going over. I'm
David?
Going over.
I'm also going over.
Okay. Second question.
All right. And this one is, and we talked about this, and will Vrabel get a tribute or an opportunity for the fans to show their appreciation? Here's the thing. And it has to be a true acknowledgement. Don't just show his face and let the fans wave and cheer. They got to say his name. Thank you, Mike Vrabel. Do a tribute like that. Don't just show his face on the sideline and the fans just cheer and yell and scream and clap. No, I want there to be a verbal acknowledgement by those with the PA department to okay. say Vrabel or a video. One of the two. What do y'all say?
I'll answer that in two words. Hell no, they're not going to do that. That's actually more than two words. No, I will say absolutely not. There will be no acknowledgement of Mike Vrabel.
Ooh.
Willie?
What if they do it at like 8:59 a.m.? And say, hey, we did it.
Nope, it got to be game time. Game time.
So not on Twitter.
Not on Twitter, okay. No. It has
but what
to be
about,
game time.
In honesty, though, what about part of the pregame? Like, 11:30, 11:45, do they do it? Or is it a TV timeout?
No, because teams but don't usually
can
do
be
that.
It could be before kickoff, right?
No, because teams usually do it during the game. Some point during the game where it's half, at a timeout in the first quarter or the second quarter. Anything past halftime, they're
I think it can be pregame, like right before the kickoff, like before the coin toss, something like that. As long as it happens by what time is the game? Noon? Mm-hmm. So what time do they meet at midfield? Like 11:55? Like as long as it's around there, I think that's okay.
Everybody has to be dressed on the field.
Okay.
And the game is getting ready to go.
Okay.
I don't want there to be guys straggling in, it's warm-ups, and then the video goes up.
I still say no.
Okay.
I say yes, and they absolutely should do it and butter them up as much as you possibly can. I'd play it up. I would try to soften them up. And it's the right thing to do. He had a good run as the Titans coach. If you can't acknowledge that, that's very petty on the part of the Titans ownership. So they absolutely should do it, and I think they will do it.
David?
I think Amy, she wants to just look good. I think she will. I think she will do it.
She'll do it.
Okay.
She's going to do it.
All right, quickly. Our individual selections. Drake May, for me, three total touchdowns on Sunday. So any combination of passing or rushing touchdowns, at least three total touchdowns from Drake May. And I will take the Vols to cover at Alabama. I don't know if they'll win, but I will take the Vols to cover at Alabama. I'm seeing Alabama -7.5. Derek?
I am taking another kick at this. Diego Pavia. He will account for at least two touchdowns. Okay, that's one. And then two will be Cam Ward will throw a touchdown.
Willie?
I'm going to stick with a team that's been very good to me.
The Miami Hurricanes.
Miami Hurricanes, no question. You got to ride the wave. They are a 10.5 point favorite at home. Against a pretty good Louisville team, but Miami, I think at home could pull away late on that one. I'm taking Canes -10.5, and I will take the Buckeyes of Ohio State, 25.5 point favorite on the road at Wisconsin. Ohio State's defense is so good. I I just think Wisconsin's going to have trouble scoring, and Ohio State will methodically pull away. And now Ohio State is the real deal.
David?
All right, boys. Listen, my favorite team, my West Tennessee boys, I'm going for the Memphis Tigers. They're a favorite by 21.5. I think they're going to do that. They're going to beat whatever that team's called, UAB, whatever they're called. They'll beat them by 21.5. And also, I think Vandy offensively will combine for 3 rushing touchdowns.
Okay. Well, we've got a jam-packed weekend of football. College football on Saturday, Patriots and Titans on Sunday. The Predators are back in action tomorrow, wrapping up their road trip. So, Willie, we will see you on Monday. We haven't seen you all week.
I can't wait to get back. I can't wait to get back home. I'll be back tomorrow night. And, David, let me say, with your take it to the bank there about the 3 rushing touchdowns, if that happens, give yourself a couple extra points, okay? I will be glad to give you a few.
Well, you know what? Give him some of your points, Willie.
You know what? I'll do that. Thanks, Willie. I'll some of your points.
I will be very in a giving mood if that does happen, especially against that LSU defense.
But that'll do it for us this week. We will catch up with you Monday at 3, reacting to the Titans and Patriots, plus everything in the college football world, Predators as well. We'll talk to you Monday at 3.
Be love, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful weekend. I love you. The team love you. You hear that music. Don't you forget about us, because we will be back come Monday at 3 o'clock. Peace. Tell me your troubles and doubts.